Hey, Raja.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right.
Well, we have another great season.
Another great season coming up.
Always. I'm Angela the mom.
I'm Raja the daughter.
And this is Talking Brown Sugar.
Yeah, don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Talking Brown Sugar. On Twitter at Talking Brown Sug. You can also email us at talkingbrown.sugar@gmail.com. And don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube.
Yeah.
Search Talking Brown Sugar and we'll be there. You've got to know it. It's electric.
Boogie, woogie, googie.
Now you can't hold it. It's electric.
Boogie, woogie, woogie.
But you know it's there.
Healing everywhere. I've got to move. I'm going on a funny ride. I got to
groove.
And from this music,
I just can't hide. Sugar Bowl, random thoughts. What you got, Mom?
Oh, you know the times are changing, but there is comfort in some older things.
Mm-hmm.
I remember going to the stores, and I used to like getting that cheese that's in that wax. I mean, you can find it in stores now, but
wax?
The red wax.
Oh, yeah.
Or the black wax over the cheese.
Mm-hmm.
That was some good stuff. And it'd be up under that wax paper in these stores all day with all kinds of temperature from spring, summer, winter, and fall. And now when you get it, it doesn't taste the same.
You need some age
on it. You know, it's just the comfort of that old comfortness.
That old thing.
Yep. You know, like, it's like getting chocolate and hot chocolate and stuff. That comfortness that makes you say, it's going to be all right.
Oh, I remember the old thing I missed, the Piggly Wiggly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was just a cute little place to go. You can call me. I was a little old lady in there with my grandma in a Piggly Wiggly.
A simple store. Easy to find. Aisles not too long. Not too confusing.
It was a vibe. It was a different vibe in there. Like the Kroger. We also don't have Kroger.
No. Kroger's was
my
a good
fresh
store.
Flowers. I used to love put my face in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why like a lot of grocery stores are trying to minimize and change some things. Even though they got the self-checkout. I still think it's nice for somebody to do your groceries for you. I don't care what kind of rush you're in.
Have you done wine and shop? You know, some grocery stores have like a bar. You can get you a little wine or beer and shop.
I'm not going to never shop because I'm going to sip and bump this here grocery list.
Right. Some of the playlists be bopping and you forget your list and you know, bought a case of wine.
And I noticed that too. They don't play a lot of music in the grocery stores like they used to.
That would keep me in there. But I guess they're trying to move you on out.
So. That'll make me go past my list. I'll be like, what did I get home? I'm like, what is this?
Helping you focus.
And what you have on your agenda, baby?
Oh, I just had, you know, thoughts on the saying or the expression is the principle of the matter. You know, some people are like, it's not this, it's just the principle of the issue. It's not that I'm emotional or it's not that I'm taking up or trying to start a fight or trying to be difficult or confrontational. It's just some things, you know, just we have like morals and standards and things of how we do business, how we interact with each other, especially if you know me or I know you, vice versa. So I think it's like a reminder to do right by yourself and others within reason, you know, and go out here, you know, burn yourself out for a certain standard. But if you know what is the right thing you need to do for yourself or do by somebody else, you know, whether it be family, kids, somebody dating, whatever, go ahead and do the right thing.
That's all. That's not hard.
You know what you need to do. Do it.
Stepping on some toes.
Give yourself grace and do it. You got to take care of yourself.
That's definitely plus right there. And that's what I'm going to do more of the new year. You know?
Yeah, because it's not. I know I look for a lot of ease and leaned into ease. But leaning into ease without having like a boundary even for that can get you just easier way into the mess.
And that mess can be not good.
So that's for myself and everybody who's also learning and growing in that way. Yes, have ease and grace within reason. But do what you gotta do. Handle your business.
And that's
easy. You got it.
You got it. And what I was thinking about too when I was reading some things, what you do in the dark shall come to the light. That's goal with family or friends or people we look up to help us with our maturing of age, or people you just trust. Because, you know, some people just got secret lives.
Mm-hmm.
And just like when you go to work or when you go to school, you come home, everybody don't know what you really do. And sometimes you can't even be really so surprised when you hear things.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And a good friend of mine talked about if you live in your truth, things will just be that you live in your truth. And there's nothing anybody can shame you for your decisions or anything to hear about you, because you live in your truth. You know what to be true, or you know what to be gossip.
Yeah. And sometimes the very ones who is gossiping could be your best friend throwing you up under the bus because they're doing something that you don't do or approve of, and you just accommodating them, or you just hanging around them and you going home on your business.
Yeah, just let it, you know, brush off your back if it's not impending anything from, you know,
yeah,
your success, not messing with your bag. If it needs to be addressed, address it. If not,
that's it.
So, you know, give yourself some social distance.
Because everybody puts a title on what you do and what you don't do. Just like we talking about who? TDJ and Diddy.
Yeah, there's a lot to do with like celebrity culture and people who are figures of influence. There comes a greater level of responsibility, I think, when you have that kind of power. You have money, you have influence, especially in American culture. We value our celebrity culture is more than just a form of entertainment. A lot of people do derive their values from what people preach, what people say you should do, what people say or show that they're how they're living. And if you don't know what we're talking about unverified reports that have been spreading on social media, especially through TikTok, you know, about TD Jakes being tied to Diddy's sex parties that he's hosted, and also calling into question, like, TD Jakes' sexuality, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, a lot of jokes are based in, like, homophobia, as well as just a part of, like, the media frenzy of talking about celebrities. And I'm glad that more things are coming to light. And I hope as a collective we can, I don't know, just see more positivity from everybody, or movements that really do just help the greater good. And we shift from prioritizing celebrity in the way that we do, get more to community. Also, I'm not taking away from learning how people with power and influence in this way do impact our communities in different ways. I hope there's just like more for us to learn as we learn and hear about more verified information. But yeah, that's a big deal. So I'm glad it's, like you said, it's coming to light.
Yeah. Sugar Cubes, aka the news, where we're going to put a little sugar in your cup.
Yes, the FDA approved the first gene therapies to treat patients with sickle cell disease. So the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, or the FDA, has approved two milestone treatments. I don't even know if I want to try to say these. Is it Casgevy and Lyfgenia, representing their first cell-based gene therapies for treatment of sickle cell disease, or SCD, in patients 12 years and older. Additionally, one of the therapies, Casgevy, is the first FDA-approved treatment to utilize a type of novel genome editing technology, signaling an innovative advancement in the field of gene therapy. What is sickle cell disease? It's a group of inherited blood disorders affecting approximately 100,000 people in the U.S. It's most common in African Americans. While it's less prevalent, it also affects Hispanic Americans. The primary problem in sickle cell disease is the mutation in the hemoglobin, a protein found in red blood cells that delivers oxygen to the body's tissues. This mutation causes red blood cells to develop a crescent or sickle shape. These sickle red blood cells restrict the flow in blood vessels and limit oxygen delivery to the body's tissues, leading in severe pain and organ damage, which is called vaso-occlusive events, or VOEs, or vaso-occlusive crises, VOCs. The recurrence of these events or crises can lead to life-threatening disabilities or an early death. So this is a major advancement that's, you know, using the DNA to target those areas to improve those red blood cells and the ability to deliver oxygen and improving blood flow.
I think it's a good thing. It's overdue. And I feel like it's been in the process. I guess you have to find people who are willing to take the tests to see if whatever they're trying to produce for better living. Because I've seen sickle cell patients, and it's sad. You know, their bodies be hurting so bad. We go through things like, but to think if you have to deal with this every day, you know, you got to be careful not, like, they get a bruise or play rough when you little, because, you know, your blood cells do different things and you heal differently.
Yeah.
And that hemoglobin is powerful. We got to have it.
Yeah. We looked into it further to see how long this, you know, development has been taking place. In 1910, the Chicago physician James Herrick published a description of an oddly shaped blood cell from a dental student, Walter Clement Noel, providing the first detail in Western medical literature of what has become to be known as sickle cell. So it's been over 100 years in the making. The National Heart, Lung, and Blood Association Institute, they founded sickle cell research in 1948. So that's how long they've been working and researching sickle cell disease. So it's a great invention and time in the making. I think also we think about even with just the pandemic, how different scientists were able to quickly develop a vaccine because they were able to share, like different scientists internationally were able to share information in a new way by getting clearance from the different governments. So even that advancement is late as or as recent as 2020 has helped improve. So here's cheers to that and cheers to more of those kind of advancements. And of course, not to forget, but also remember how you were saying one difficulty in finding cures is finding willing participants. But we think about in history of medicine and medical advancements, a lot of those treatments and experiments were performed on Black people who didn't give their consent or weren't informed.
What was going on with the procedure?
What was happening? And so we have so many examples of that. And one we were thinking about that's still also related into current news, family of Henrietta Lacks. They filed a new lawsuit over sales harvested without her consent. This is in Baltimore. Just over a week after Henrietta Lacks' descendant settled a lawsuit against the biotech company that they accused of unjustly profiting off her sales for generations, families of attorneys have filed another claim against a different corporation. In the new lawsuit, which targets California-based biopharmaceutical company Ultragenyx, was filed in the Baltimore federal court in the same venue as a recently settled case. The lawyers for the family have said that they plan to bring a series of lawsuits against various entities that continue to reap the rewards from the racist medical system that took advantage of Lacks. Lacks was a Black mother of five from Southern Virginia. Lacks and her family were living outside of Baltimore when she was diagnosed with cervical cancer in 1951. Doctors at Johns Hopkins Hospital saved a sample of her cancer cells collected during biopsy without her knowledge or consent. She died at age 31 in the hospital's color ward, but her genetic material lived on, the first human cells to continuously grow and reproduce in lab dishes. HLAW, that's capital H, lowercase e, capital L, lowercase a, cells, have since become a cornerstone of modern medicine, enabling countless scientific and medical innovations, including the development of the polio vaccine, genetic mapping, and even the COVID-19 shot. So yeah, I just thought it was important to bring up these kind of cases. So as we are making advancements in the world, that we remember what was stolen, what was sacrificed, especially of Black people, as we talk about reparations, and we just talk about just generational wealth gaps. And it's not just monetary, the things that were taken from us.
But you didn't even ask.
Didn't ask. He didn't consider her family, who could have, you know, benefited from her passing at such a young age from some kind of payment or something.
Something.
Education for her children. Anything. But thinking about how many generations of people were helped, how many generations of scientists and millionaires were funded on her research, on her sales, literal.
Like you say, unjust blood, sweat,
tears given to this country. And when people talk about America being built on the backs of slaves, and we want to also think about how, you know, we're banning books. We're talking about critical race theory.
You want to hide.
You want to hide these different things, but they're still relevant today. So we're not going to forget. We're going to continue talking about our future moving forward. We'll also remember where we came from. Because if we don't talk about it,
who will?
Right. And we don't want to, you know, move forward with, you know, being ill-informed.
And as we share our ages, I'm the mom, she's the daughter, we're showing you, we're going to keep it alive. We're going to keep anything that we can find out historical alive.
Right. And a lot of our history has been passed down, what, in many cultures, especially mm-hmm. Black culture, verbally through stories, think about Anansi and things like that. So all of this, you know, cyclical things we have to continue to do to empower each other and encourage each other to continue to learn as we are fighting day to day, you know, out here in the streets, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
We're going to keep you informed.
We see you. We love you.
Yes.
I'm going to move on to the next story.
This should make you feel good.
Tulane University students build specially designed wheelchairs for children with disabilities. So a groundbreaking program at the Tulane University is creating ways of change for young children with disabilities, providing them with specially designed chairs that offer newfound mobility and independence. Volunteers at the university dedicate their time and skills to building the chairs with the help of 3D printing technology. So far, they've built 15 chairs this year. They said it's groundbreaking. Alyssa Bachman, a Tulane senior, was a part of the team that builds the chairs. She said, "You can make such a change and impact on a child with only a couple of hours of effort." The chair design is simple yet effective, combining wooden bases and wheels that are 3D printed plastic attachments, all assembled by hand in a child-friendly bright colors. As each chair is personalized and signed by its makers, they carry messages of love and care from the creators to their young users. The man at the front of the creation is Noam Platt, an architect in New Orleans, discovered the chair's design on a website that lists open source information for developers like him. His organization, Make Good, which focuses on devices that people can't find in the commercial market or can't afford, and partner with Tulane to make the chairs for the children.
Yeah, when you see these little chairs, a lot of these kids, they couldn't even sit up, or the families couldn't have free time, like a high chair you could put a baby in. But once they got these little wheelchairs to fit their little bodies, because they have other disabilities, they just instantly learned how to be a little bit more mobile. They gave more free time for the family, more fun time for the siblings, because they can interact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's different if you have a disability and you can't sit up. But they got a wheelchair that can fit their little bodies, and they can change it, and they can interact. They are learning to be more mobile, too. They following the big brother or the big sister. They following mommy, daddy around the house. Or is this the point of them changing their motor skills in their brains to help them to feel more a part of the family? I think it's a good gift. Because if you don't have the money for a regular wheelchair, you just won't get it.
Yeah, it says the costs are under $200 for each chair to build, which is a fraction of the $1,000 to $10,000 that a traditional wheelchair for small children might cost. Yeah, that's, you know, the parents, the families already incurring medical bills and costs and things like that. So it amazes me that our insurance doesn't cover more of some of these life-saving, like you said, life-changing devices.
Because some of those kids, they didn't even have the mobility to put their little hands down to use a regular wheelchair. So the insurance feels that if the child is not sitting up or no standard for them in the regular eye of a person in a wheelchair, they're not going to fund it. So they made a way for them to
right. It's a for-profit
yeah.
system. Cause
it's a win-win.
Yeah. So it's good that
easy living. Keep on rolling.
Right, help the babies, the young ones. Moving into some local news, Disney announces Asteria, new residential community, moving to Chatham County. They have a 1,500-acre community known as Asteria. It's going to include 4,000 single-family and multifamily homes. This project is in initial stages of development, with home sales set to begin by 2027. This community will be for people age 55 and older. It's going to be about a $4 billion project, and it's already been going on started about 3.5 years ago. So it'll include parks, clubhouse, and wellness recreation center, restaurants, sports courts, swimming pools, and a community garden and trail system. I don't know, that's interesting. For the 55 and up club.
Well, we have so much other stuff going on in our area. You know, I'm always going to speak on homelessness.
Yeah.
And affordable living.
Yeah, that's interesting. To think about big corporations investing in that kind of infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. Like, wow. And moving right along.
Talking about poinsettias, just a little history about that. The Quetzalcoatl flower. So Quetzalcoatl flower, you spell that Quetzalcoatl flower, is native to Mexico. It's a sacred flower that was colonized and written off in history as a discovery of Joel Poinsett, hence poinsettias, in the 1800s. Joel Poinsett was a slave owner who promoted white supremacy and slavery in his travels and in his political career. He has also been responsible for the displacement of many indigenous peoples along the way by forcibly removing them from their native lands. The Quetzalcoatl originally had nothing to do with Christianity or Christians. They were a sacred plant used in ceremonies to celebrate the birth during winter and winter solstices. They were also used for medicinal healing, to cure sickness and aid in the flow of breast milk, as well as for dyeing fabric. So you can reverse harm by calling your chime by its original name. So that's Quetzalcoatl or Quetzalcoatl. And correcting those around you.
So it's not called poinsettia.
Yep, that's a repost from the Lakota made business. I'm just sharing some history about symbols and where they come from. We see them around during the holidays and the wintertime. So just nice to know where things come from.
Yeah, that was a good look. I didn't know that either.
Calling things what they are. Because history is being rewritten, so it's good to know.
Yeah, people dusting things off. Like, let me tell you what's really going on.
Moving over to the movies. We talked about Godzilla Minus One. It passed a major box office milestone and a mega-sized U.S. release. Mommy called it on this one. So Godzilla Minus One has surpassed another huge milestone at the domestic box office. The movie is Toho's 33rd Japanese language entry in the long-running monster franchise, which began with the original classic Godzilla in 1954, and it follows the former...
Oh yeah, you know what? I love me some Godzilla. La, 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 la. So I thought when I saw that about the Godzilla Minus One at the box office, I said, we knew it. We knew it was going to be a good one. And it's, sometimes we like to see animated type, reptilian type creatures. It takes our minds off of the day-to-day living.
Yeah, that's what, you know, that movie going.
Yeah.
Or just seeing a good movie. I know, yeah. Godzilla is always about that action.
Yes.
People, we going to sleep on Godzilla. Like, she a huge girl. But
she got plan.
She got powers. Or it has powers.
She get mad and light up somebody's...
The fighting scene, I like always like the fighting scenes.
It wakes me up. It gets my blood
just
on.
Big, just, and I think about Cloverfield and like what I would do in one of those kind of scenarios. If I saw Godzilla, I don't know what I would do. I don't know if I would run. I'd probably just be like, well, it's that time, y'all. Wrap it up. She gonna bother me though. I recycle, so.
I like that.
So she gonna bother me.
She's gonna see my, I guess, my little spirit rays, and like, I'm gonna let this girl go on by her business.
Oh, you just gonna beam.
I'm just gonna beam. And she gonna say, eh, I'll let you go, girl.
I'll let you smile, girl.
Cause you got to tell my story.
You gonna tell the truth about Godzilla?
I gotta tell what's going on about Godzilla. I seen her with my eyes to tell the story.
Yeah, she don't play. Whenever she come on screen, you know she not playing, so.
It is all about, she be trying to save people. She be trying to save.
Yeah, she cares. She's,
you know.
What, that's, instead of having like.
Destroying.
A recycled bin mascot, yeah. Or the earth mascot, just need Godzilla and green.
We keep messing around, we gonna need Jesus, Godzilla too?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The earth is
tired. Global warming. They're waking things up and shaking things up around the world.
Mm-hmm. On to our last story of 2023. You Are the Father, Maury Povich declares to December. A zoo in Denver reached out to Maury Povich, the former daytime talk show host, for help with a paternity announcement. Says just as he would do on his longtime running show, Maury Povich pulled out the purported DNA results for four-month-old Sokka out of an envelope and declared, Barani, you are the father.
Woo!
So that was posted on social media. Siska, female, who was born on August 27th, is the first baby for Arena, a 15-year-old Samaritan orangutan who also came to the Denver Zoo from Germany's Dortmund Zoo in 2016. So she had the baby with Barani, and Barani is a 30-year-old. So they compared the DNA against the two possible fathers to figure out which orangutan got busy, and it was Barani.
Some zoo loving.
I think that was funny that they did that.
That was nice.
Funny little.
You are the father.
That was a long time of mess on that show.
Especially when they were saying, this is the third father we're checking on you, lady.
Oh, yeah, and the camera angles. People
and then they just running run pole babies.
Oh, my gosh. All those babies. I would never let my mom. Mom, if you took me on that show, I would never let you live that down. Even if it was for a check and you knew who my daddy was.
Mm-mm. There's not enough money to do that.
When they don't blur the baby's faces.
And they be so cute.
I need to look up.
And you know somebody's going to play that back when they get like 20 years old. Oh, you was that
child. If they haven't seen it now, I know there are some adult Maury babies by now.
That's a good segment. Who is the Maury's baby? Can you get a check for Maury? Well, what?
Investment.
In the streets? But I'm quite sure they have some kind of clause. I hope it's some kind of
written
contract.
The baby ain't signed it?
Nope.
The baby couldn't even give consent to their images.
The baby said I should.
Or their likeness. Oh, my gosh.
Who did this? Got me out here.
That's something.
Airing out my business.
Your first IMDb credit is Maury Povich.
Ooh.
Who are you? I was baby number 3.
I don't know who my pappy is. But
my gosh.
But my mama knew. And then she did know.
And when people had the phobias, the person would be sitting up there with Maury talking about, you know, I'm afraid of clear eco-style gel. And somebody would come out with a big TV tray of gel and just walk up to her. And the person would just
freak out.
And run, and they're following them with the thing their phobia is. I would just start swinging. It's gonna be jail with everybody.
I would have said,
flip the chair, flip out. Just mess. But yeah, that was the era. I feel like people are trying to fill those kind of voids with that crazy kind of.
What's going on
reality
with
that line? Type TV. Because good Lord.
It went on for a long time. He was on air for a minute.
For a minute. And we mess. We live for
this. I still was turning around too. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, when you sick, that's what you had on TV. When you sick.
Let's see what kind of shenanigans we're talking about today, Maury.
Don't be some household without cable.
Ooh.
Back in the day with the winning ears.
Sometimes they didn't pick up the right stations. Okay, Maury, you won. Gotta watch it or listen to it while we moving around the house cleaning up. Sweet Deets want us to promote your business in our next Sweet Deets mention? Email us talkingbrown.sugar@gmail.com with the subject line business feature with a few sentences about your business. Promote, service, there's room for everyone to eat.
Hey, Talking Brown Sugar family. As we close out the chapter on 2023, we want to express our deepest gratitude for being a part of this journey with us. Your laughter, your engagement, shared moments, sending us articles has made podcasting a true treasure. Just fun for us.
As we bid farewell to this year, let's carry the warmth, the wisdom, the gain from each episode into the new year. May 2024 bring you joy, growth, and endless adventures.
Thank you again for being the heartbeat of Talking Brown Sugar. Thank you for sharing, for liking, engaging with our posts. Thank you for sending episodes to your family, your cousins, your coworkers, and everybody to listen. Thank you for subscribing on YouTube and following us wherever you listen to podcasts.
With love.
We out!